Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, Ronnie Kohler is going to bring our special.
Weary of a beautiful heaven, prepared for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. I'm longing to go to that fair haven, to be with the happy and free, to spend the long ages just singing and praising. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by that beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. I love to see you and me. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Acts chapter 17. Boy, wasn't that good. How beautiful heaven must be. For the Lord to give up as much as He did for us to experience that place, it must be a mighty special place. And we must be a mighty special people for Him to give what He gave for us to experience that. Are you glad to be here this morning? It is good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to be among God's people. What a great time of year, the fellowship around the camp, the fun, the different things going on. But I tell you, I can't think of anything better than to stop it all and go worship Jesus. I tell you, He's worthy of it this morning. He's worthy to be worshiped, and I appreciate you sacrificing to be here today, and I know God is going to bless your efforts, and He already has. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 17, I preached last week about a sermon that Paul preached in Antioch. And we talked about that and talked about the different kings that God was going to raise up and the things that God would do. And I told you last week that this coming week we're going to get a new president, but we're going to have the same king. And we got a new president, but bless God we have the same king. And I'm glad to know that Jesus is in control. And I'm glad to know that He is sovereign. And let's continue to allow Him to be sovereign. Let's allow Him to be our Lord today. I'm glad He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's greater than anybody. Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as the manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So here is another synagogue that this preacher went into, and he's preaching the gospel, this time in Thessalonica. Verse 4 said that many believed. There were some that believed, and some that was persuaded to believe this and had faith in Jesus the Savior. But notice verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is an another king, one Jesus." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is still king. Lord, I don't care what powers raise up, Jesus will always be king. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you'll always be sovereign. Lord, I am thankful for your hand and your touch upon us. Lord, thank you for getting us through this week. Lord, our nation is in such a turmoil right now. Lord, may your people not quit praying. May we continue to seek your face. May we continue to give this country back to you. Lord, our leaders need your help today. This country needs your help today. We need your help today. We need your touch, Lord. We need the touch of heaven upon this country. Lord, our children are hurting. Our families are hurting. Our nation is hurting. And there's only one that can heal us, and it's you. Lord, there is a balm in Gilead. And I am thankful that there is an ointment. I'm glad that there is a remedy. Lord, I'm thankful there is a cure. And it's the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would turn to you. And we would forsake our wicked ways, Lord, and just turn to you. Lord, I give you this message. Lord, help me to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look there in verse 6. The people that got mad and angry, they began to riot, and they went out and they carried out Jason, one of the guys that had the Christians in his house, and he carried them out. And the accusation was this at the end of verse 6. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I want to talk to you this morning about when our world is upside down. When our world is upside down. This was the accusation against Paul and Silas. These men come out and they accuse that these two men, Paul and Silas, had come in and turned their world upside down. This was not a true statement, because the reality of it was these two men did not turn their world upside down, but the city, the unbelievers, those that were so against Christ, they were so stirred up. The message of the gospel had stirred them so much that they felt that these two men had turned their world upside down. But the reality of it was these two men was trying to turn the world downside up. The reality of it was the world was already upside down. Good was bad and bad was good. And these two men came and preached the truth of Christ, and it began to stir up the unbelievers. It began to make them mad. And so the accusation is simply this: our world is turned upside down. Our world is turned upside down. I want to notice this morning the reason for this accusation. And as I watched this week, as I looked on the news, as I watched the riots, as I seen our nation, and then when I seen it come to Hamburg, Arkansas, I got stirred. I got stirred. And I hope you're stirred. We ought to be stirred. Amen. I'll tell you, it's one thing to watch it on the news. It's another thing to have it at the house. And it's here at the house. And things are stirred right now. And the other night I was praying and seeking the Lord, and this story fell upon my heart. And I want to share this with you. And I want you to notice the reason for this accusation. Number one was because of the preaching of the gospel. The reason their world was turned upside down was the preaching of the gospel. I want you to notice in verse 2, Paul went into this synagogue. This is a Jewish synagogue, and this is Judaism. Okay, they do not believe that Jesus is the Savior. They do not believe He is the Messiah. And the Bible says that Paul went into this synagogue. It said in verse 2, as his manner was. He went in, he did this in all these synagogues. He went in and he began to preach. Notice what it said there. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scripture. The word reason means to ask questions and answers. He basically went into their congregation and began to develop questions. He began to develop a conversation with these Jews that did not believe in Jesus. This Paul believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The people he was talking to did not believe that. So he simply went in and he began to ask questions. He began to reason with them. He began to start this great conversation. Notice what it said in verse 3. Opening and alleging. The word opening means to open fully, to explain. He opened up the Word of God. He began to develop that relationship with them, and then he opened up. He took the Word of God and he opened up and he alleged. That word allege means to lay down alongside, to prove. He simply began to preach the gospel unto them. It says opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So he reasoned, he opened, he alleged, and he preached. The word preach means to announce. He went in into the synagogue and announced the simple truth of Jesus Christ unto them. They did not want to hear that Jesus was the Messiah. They did not want to hear this. This offended them. This hurt them. This stirred them up. But the reality of it was, Paul was a child of God. And there, I believe it's there in Corinthians Romans 1, when he introduced himself, and he introduced himself as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He said, everywhere I go, I represent Jesus. Everywhere I go, I preach Him and Him crucified. Everywhere I go, I'm going to exalt the name of Jesus. And child of God, that should be every one of us this morning. And he went into that Jewish synagogue, and he did what God's people are supposed to be doing, and that's exalting the precious name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. We got a precious name to lift up, and it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a powerful name. It is a great name. It is a redeeming name. Amen. Can you amen that this morning? The name of Jesus is a good name. It's a great name. It's the sweetest name I know. It is a powerful name. But let me tell you, it's a hated name. It is. And the message of Jesus is not liked. And by the world standards, it is opposed. They do not like how we exalt this Jesus above all. But in reality, He is above all. And God's people should always exalt Him above all. May I tell you, He should have the preeminence in your life. Not just preachers go in preaching. God's people go in preaching. And we exalt the precious name of Jesus. And so he went in and he opened and he alleged and he began to preach. And I love that word alleged means to lay down alongside. I'm telling you, this fella, he just got to preaching. Don't you love just good old-fashioned preaching? Don't you love when somebody would just take thus saith the Lord and just preach it? Just preach it. We don't need how-to sermons. We don't need all of this good counseling. We need the gospel message of Jesus Christ preached and declared. And he went in and he declared the truth of God's Word. And friend, it stirred them up. It stirred them up. One thing, it caused a revival, didn't it? Notice what it said in verse 4. And some of them believed. And some of them believe in 1 Thessalonians 1:8. You don't have to turn there. But Paul later writes back to this church. He said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This church became a great church. Paul is praising them. In verse 4 it said that some believed. They developed a church and they began to do great things. The word of God was preached and a revival broke out. Let me tell you something. We don't have to have a special set of services to have revival. We need the preaching of God's word to have revival. And the only thing that caused and stirred a revival in their midst was the preaching of God's word. Let me tell you something. The word of God will revive us today. The word of God will revive us and restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And boy, what great joy entered into that city. And so many believed and families was changed. I don't know about you, but the gospel changed me. The gospel changed my family. I hope it's changed yours. What a revival the gospel message brings. But not only did it bring revival, it brought riot. And it brought a great riot into that town. And it began to stir within the lost folks. Notice what it said in verse 5. "But the Jews which believed not moved with envy." You see, the gospel was not received well by some, and for good reason. And the first reason is because the gospel opposed the traditions that they were accustomed to. Notice what it said in verse 7. "Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar." Now, we have these laws to protect us against you religious people. We have these laws to protect us against this Jesus. And you go against those laws, you go against the traditions of man, you go against what we were taught, and this message that you are preaching is offensive to us because our mamas and our daddies told us something else. And this is something that we practice differently in this country. And let me tell you something, they got offended because everything they knew had just been destroyed by the preaching of God's Word. Do you understand today why the preaching of God's Word can be so offensive? Because the Word of God will oppose the tradition of mankind. And I know us in man and in religion, we have so many traditions, and Jesus ought to trump every tradition that you ever have in your family. You say, "Well, I do this because this is how we always done it." That's not always a bad thing, but let me tell you something. If it's not scriptural, you don't need to do it. Okay? And the thing is, we're not here to follow traditions. We're not here to follow religion. We're here to follow Jesus. And when Jesus is preached and declared, it threatens our traditions. And these people got stirred up and they got mad. And hey, we fought for these rights and we fought for this and we fought for this. And now this man's going to come in and preach another way. Friend, there's only one true way, and his name is Jesus. And all the other ways are the wrong ways. Okay? Let me tell you something. These people were stirred up because it opposed their tradition. But let me tell you something else. It opposed their lifestyle. And here these religious people thought they could go and they could live any way they want to. And here they were and they had these lifestyles. And when Jesus was preached, the gospel message began to convict them of their lifestyles. Let me tell you something. The preaching of God's Word is very offensive because we get under conviction when we hear the preaching of God's Word. Because the gospel message will oppose our lifestyle. It will oppose our addictions. It will oppose the things that we have just put so much unction into in this old world. When the gospel message is preached, we realize all the junk we think so important is not that important. And their lifestyles were opposed. And all the way they thought and the way they believe was opposed. And it was called a question. And now here comes this preacher with a better way. Let me tell you something, people. There is a better way. And it's called Jesus. Let me tell you something. We have riots in the streets today. We have riots everywhere we look. A man the other day on the news, he was asked, "Why are you rioting?" He said, "Because I believe in same-sex marriage. And I believe," and he went down. And he said, "Well, why are you out here?" He said, "Because I'm threatened. Because I'm afraid we're going to lose it." People get stirred up. People get stirred up when their lifestyles are opposed, when another way is may be presented, and people get stirred up to defend their sin. And let me tell you something. If this country is going to turn around and our leaders turn back to the Lord, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And this world is going to get worse and worse. If our leaders stand up and say, we're going to oppose abortion, we're going to oppose same-sex marriage, God bless America if they do. Amen? And this world will turn around if they get back to the godly morals. But friend, if we do that, the lost society of this world, their world is going to be turned upside down. And they're going to start lashing out because the truth opposes their traditions and opposes their lifestyle. Let me tell you something. This works. This works. It's been proven. And this is what the God of America ought to be. The God of America, the Constitution of America was written off of Thus Saith the Lord. And we need to get back to Thus Saith the Lord. How do we do it, preacher? By preaching Jesus. And there he went, this little old preacher went in there, and he went to these Jews, and he just laid it out there. Man, he got to preaching. Boy, revival took, man, revival took off. But so did the right. And all the unbelievers got mad, and they got stirred up. Notice what they said here in verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered company, and set all the city on an uproar. Well, doesn't that sound familiar? And assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. So these unbelievers, they got stirred up, and they went out, and they got certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Now, I want you to notice the passion of the unbeliever. Let me tell you something about an unbeliever. They have passion for their lifestyle. They have passion for their sin. We have passion for our belief. They have passion for their disbelief. Okay? As passionate as you are in your faith in the Lord, their passion's the other way around. Are y'all awake this morning? Y'all with me? That's their passion. And they have a passion for their unbelief. Now, I want you to notice what they did. The Jews, when they were believed not, moved with envy. That word envy means jealous. They were jealous of these people getting saved. They're jealous of them turning from their wicked ways. Notice it says, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. They began to go get them a mob. And they went and got them a bunch of unbelievers. And they went and got them a bunch of people that was stirred up. And that lewd fellows there of the baser sort simply represented loafers, bums, unemployed people that was sitting around in the city. And these unbelievers went and got them and they stirred them up and said, let's go cause a stink. And let's go cause a riot. And they set the city on an uproar. The whole city was in an uproar simply because the gospel of Jesus Christ was being proclaimed. Simply because the truth was being presented. Let me tell you something. The truth will set some people on fire. Some people don't want to hear the truth, okay? And as a Bible preaching, teaching church, there's going to be times that we're going to be persecuted for preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. Okay? And people are going to get stirred up. And you know what they did? They said, let's go get us a mob. What happens when this message is preached and they're against this? What do? They go find people like them. They go find a group of people because they're so insecure. They cannot stand firm on any belief. So they go get other people. They don't have any other beliefs. And they group up. And the bigger the numbers, the more they feel comfortable about their disbelief. Well, look how many people we have out here. Let me tell you something. It don't matter if there's 10 million people standing for wrong. If you're the only one that's right, you stand up for what's right. Well, there's 10 million people that oppose that. Who cares? Right is right and wrong is wrong. And you stand for what's right, okay? And these unbelievers, they went and they got other people. They got them stirred up. But they had to get these people because they were so insecure in their disbelief. Numbers made them feel better. Numbers brought them that kind of security. Friend, I don't need numbers. I got Jesus. Hello? I don't need numbers. I have the truth. Let me tell you something, child of God. We don't need numbers. It doesn't matter if we're the only ones left standing. Let's stand on Thus Saith the Lord. Let's stand for the truth. Let me tell you something. They went and they got all of these numbers. Notice what it said here. That they set a city, the city on an uproar. They assaulted the house of Jason. Crimes took place. I'm telling you, things were going on. Notice verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Oh, the city was on an uproar. These accusations, they were ganging up, and their hate for the truth and their hate for the people who stood for the truth. Listen to me now. They weren't just attacking the gospel. They weren't just attacking the truth. They began to attack the people who declared that truth. If you declare truth, you might be attacked or persecuted for standing for that truth. Not only was the gospel attacked, but the people presenting that gospel was attacked. Friend, that's a problem. Amen? Okay? A few of you agree with me. That's the issue. As a child of God, going forward in living in this world in which we live, standing for the truth is going to be tough at times. It's going to be tough. And so here we are with the truth declared, and there's a lot of people that don't like it, and there's a lot of people in an uproar. What do we as Christians, as believers, what do we do when their world is turned upside down? This is our duty to that unbeliever. Number one is to pray for them. Child of God, we are to pray for this lost society. Quit running them down. Quit bad-mouthing everybody, and let's pray for them. Amen? Let me tell you something about our society. They need prayer more than ever. Tuesday night, I called for a prayer meeting. We had 60, 70 people down on their face. One of the best prayer meetings, Brother Carl, that I've ever been a part of. It was awesome. It was encouraging. Child of God, we can't stop praying. We got to keep on praying. And as the city is set on an uproar, God's people need to fall on their face. You know what they need from us? They don't need us to ridicule them, make fun of them. They need us to pray for them. And let me tell you something else. They need us to love on them. When this world loses their lifestyles and their lifestyles are threatened, they feel attacked. And you know what they need? They need to be loved on. And they need to feel accepted by somewhere. And that's why they are doing what they're doing, because they feel accepted in that lifestyle, in that group. God's people need to reach out more than we ever have. The darkness is greater than it's ever been. You know what that means? The brighter the lights ought to shine in this darkness. For such a time as this, child of God, it's time to get back on that wall, like Nehemiah said. And it's time to get that sword, and it's time to get that trowel. And we got to go to work. And we got to fight them off at the same time. And we got to keep building. We got to keep working for Jesus. Let me tell you something. The city may be on an uproar, but the only saving grace for that city is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. When these people feel attacked and they feel down and they feel lowered, throw your arms around them and love on them. Child of God, they need to see the love of Christ. You know why I'm saved today? You know why I'm living where I live? And Christianity is because of the love of Christ that was shed for me. This lost world's looking for something. And you know what they're looking for? Jesus. 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 That's why they went to these lifestyles to begin with. But it's not fulfilling that natural longing, but Jesus fulfills that. So how do we get this world to change? We give them exactly what they need and what they really want. And that's Jesus. Jesus can turn this around. You keep loving on people. You keep preaching to people. You keep on working. Let me tell you something. You keep standing for what's right. Preacher, it's not popular. If this says it, child of God, stand on it. When all this world is passed away, the only thing that will be left is the words of God. Heaven and earth pass away. My words will never pass away. Let me tell you something. If you're standing on the Word of God, you're standing on an eternal truth that will last forever and ever and ever. All these traditions and these fads, they come and go. God's Word lasts forever. Child of God, don't get caught up in this political mess. Don't listen to this media. Get in your Bible and get to the truth of God's Word. Well, what's going to turn this around? God's people getting to the truth of God's Word and standing firm on what thus saith the Lord says. I believe this still works today. I believe it can still turn things around. But God's people have got to stand up for the truth. these people kept standing. Paul and Silas was accused. They were attacked. But did they change their ways? Did they change what they believed? Absolutely not. And let me tell you something. If this world opposes you, it's not you they oppose. It's Jesus that they oppose. They're not really against you as much as they are against the one you represent. And child of God, we need to stand firm. And let me tell you something. The bullying that is on our children today is getting out of hand. And it is this mindset from Hollywood and the law society. Well, if we can't change you, maybe we can get your kids. And so they fill their heads with all of this stuff. You can't hate. If you say something against somebody, it's hate. No, friend. No. Love is the Scripture. Righteousness is love. If you love somebody, you'll give them, thus saith the Lord, in a loving way. Amen. Not cram it down their throat. In a loving way, show them what God wants from them. These people need to be loved more than ever. Let me tell you something. We've got to stand firm. My kids are coming home every day making statements that are blowing my mind. It's blowing my mind. What these kids hear at school. It blows my mind what these kids are coming home with. And I'm sick of it. God's people's got to stand up for the truth. And don't ever be afraid to tell your kids what God thinks. Well, if they believe that, they may not be popular. Hey, if you're standing with God, who cares? Who else is standing with you? Amen? Stand on the Word of God. Child of God, for such a time as this, we got to stand up and we got to preach and declare the truth of God's Word everywhere we go. Don't quit. Don't quit when all the people are at the door in an uproar. Don't quit when everybody in your life is threatened because of the uproar. You stand on the truth and you stand with God. And let me tell you this, God's going to stand with you. And let me tell you, they can take away a lot of things, but they can't take away your relationship with the Lord. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God's people, we need to be strong today. We need to rise up and we need to stand for truth. I want to ask you to stand. And if you're here this morning, you need to be saved. I want to encourage you to be saved. But child of God, maybe you're just tore down. Maybe your heart is just hurting for what's going on, not in New York, not in Pennsylvania, for what's going on right here in Hamburg, Arkansas. It's here. It's here at the house. God's people, we got to stand up against the evil. And we got to stand for what's right. These altars are going to be open. I encourage you to go to these altars. If you have a decision to make this morning, you come. As she plays, y'all come this morning.